Hey guys, welcome back to Defining Truth, episode 55. I'm Josiah O'Neill with co-host Brandon Jones. Today we're taking you inside California's culture wars and beyond. We're going to talk about five stories that expose the fault lines of our age. We'll start with Doge shock voter fraud findings, drill into New York indictment of an Iraqi national, unpack Doge new immigration tactics. Then we'll come back to California for battles over girls' sports and early release of violent offenders. You're not going to believe this. It's insane. Finally, we'll bring it all together in the grand clash of secular humanism and biblical truth. Let's get it started. All right, guys. Welcome back. As always, please give us a follow and a like. If you're watching on YouTube, which I hope you are, please follow and then share it with literally everybody you know. That would help us out a lot. And you can always catch our shorts and reels on Instagram at Defining Truth. Stay up to date on news on X. And you can listen to the podcast pretty much anywhere you get a podcast. Google, Amazon, Apple Podcast, Spotify. Okay, so jump on that. Come on. If you're with us thus far, it's episode 55. It's time to subscribe, I would say. Interesting topics, a lot going on in the news this week. Again, as always, we're going to try to share what's going on and then provide a correct biblical worldview on these topics and keep us in line amidst the sea of confusion and lies out there, especially in mainstream media, for heaven's sakes. But I'm actually going to kick it over to Brandon right off with the Doge story. Brandon, what do we have first segment here?
Yeah, so I was listening to a podcast on the way over here, and they were mentioning it was a representative from Doge, Antonio Gracias, and he was mentioning the work that they were doing. And they're diving into voter fraud investigations now as part of the waste, fraud, and abuse that they've been trying to uncover.
Interesting.
And so they partnered with the DOJ and the DOJ, DHS, HSI, a bunch of these three-letter agencies, and they've uncovered that there's voter fraud happening in America. Shocker. And it's actually led to three arrests in Florida and one indictment of an Iraqi national in New York.
Hmm. And Antonio Gracias, do we know much about him? He's like part of the Doge team or like who?
Yeah, he's a representative of Doge. I think he's a billionaire tech investor. He might have been at Google or Facebook or one of those. Anyways, he's one of Elon's buddies. They're pretty good at,
I just looked him up. Let me see if I can give some context here because I didn't hear about him before. Well, obviously we were talking before the show, but he is, this is interesting. He's a Venezuelan American entrepreneur and investor, best known as the founder and managing partner of Valor Equity Partners, Chicago-based growth equity firm he launched in 2001. And I love this. I love that we reward and celebrate one, legal immigration, diversity, right? Done right. And I love when people from all over the world come together to be proud of being Americans and then find roles like in Doge, Also, I love that we are taking advantage of the people that are best at what they do in this country, Americans were so sick of the bureaucrats and politicians with like no background whatsoever other than maybe a law degree they picked up, which I'm not saying that's bad. You know, it's good to have that, but I think it's fantastic to go into the private sector and find people that have just done really well. They haven't kept their jobs because some union said they could have it or because their tenure in the Fed, the federal government, allowed them to remain despite being horrible. No, guys like this built what they have because they were good at what they did. So I love that we're bringing them in, especially to Doge. Anyways, that's who Antonio Gracias is. Okay, so what's he doing at Doge?
So they, I'll mess up the details a little bit, but what they're essentially doing is they are taking information from DHS's database. They're running random samples of people who are in the country on work visas. So they have legally with an L, obtained social security numbers. They're authorized to work in the United States. However, because they're not citizens, they wouldn't be authorized to vote in elections. Federal elections specifically, California has allowed illegal immigrants to vote in local elections, but we're specifically talking about federal elections here. So they ran this random sample. They have engineers doing this by hand, it sounds like. So they'll get 10 or 20 cases from DHS, run random sample checks against voter registrations in different swing states, one of which being Florida, another being New York. Not that New York is quite a swing state, but anyways, for this purpose, we'll say that it is. And what they found is that there are people who have illegally registered to vote, and in some cases, they've even gone as far as voting. So, what's the big deal here? Voting by aliens is a misdemeanor, carrying up to 1 year behind bars. They don't often prosecute, but in this case and with this administration, they now are. So they found this individual, the one that they have indicted. His name is Akil Abdul Jamil. He's a 45-year-old Iraqi national who was arrested last week for allegedly voting illegally in the 2020 presidential election. I'm going to pause on arrested last week. I'm not sure that they have him in custody because it sounds like he's in Iraq.
Yeah, I thought currently. He went back to Iraq, right?
Yeah, that's his claim on the defense is that he was in the United States. He was not here to vote in the election and that somebody stole his identity. They're saying that he was registered by falsely claiming U.S. citizenship. The defense is saying that that's not true. So
just to put together what we're talking about, DOJ is finding people who had been here legally on work visas or immigrant visas, and then they illegally used their work status to then vote in U.S. elections. And this guy in particular, it seems like he bounced. He went back to Iraq. Right.
That's what he's alleging. They're alleging that he was here and that he actually voted based off signatures on voting ballots, et cetera. It begs the question, how does this happen? Right. You obtain a social security number legally. How does that translate into you being able to register to vote, et cetera, et cetera? Well, in states like California, you register for a driver's license. You don't need to be a citizen to have a driver's license. And then what does California do? They automatically register you to vote. So are these happening in other states like Florida or New York? The big kickers here is we need voter ID laws. There's 15 states that have yet to enact voter ID laws. And to take it a step further, we need voter ID laws that require real IDs, not just anybody at a college campus who's here on a J-1 visa for students. Mm-hmm. You know, they would have an ID that has their name on it. So really we need...
Well, temporary work visas too, J-1s.
Yeah so we would need to have a real ID that has... established residence in the United States as well as citizenship.
And let's follow up on that for everybody thinking like, oh, why, you know, it's all about immigration and just totally normal people. Well, it's not. That's not the role. National security apparatus is to protect the homeland, okay? To protect the integrity of our electoral process, the integrity of our borders, the integrity of our nation. And there's a lot of people out there that want to do us harm. I know there's a lot of ignorant folks living in la-la land in this country, but believe it or not, there is a large amount of people in the U.S. that work very hard to keep you in la-la land, that are daily protecting you. So I want to touch on that real quick because I have some background in that, working document fraud and visa fraud and things like that. And I want people to understand that this isn't just about random, you know, I just wanted to come here and work for the summer. What we're looking for is foreign opponents, oftentimes foreign governments like intelligence agencies, exploiting our freedoms and liberties to do us harm. Okay, so just a few off the top in case you were wondering. Foreign intelligence services have long leveraged gaps in our immigration and naturalization systems to insert operatives, okay, spies. They collect data, they influence U.S. policy. And I want to go through some primary methods that I personally have been involved in. So one, marriage and family fraud, that's like a K-1 visas, for example, like in the 90s and then more recently in the 2020s, Russian illegals program. These were agents that married Americans and raised families and then were reporting back to Moscow. Now that happened big in the 90s, but it happened... When I was active, we were looking at this quite a bit. These were Russian nationals, many whom exited Russian military service or intelligence service, then all of a sudden magically became, you know, like plumbers in Moscow. And then they were applying for visas to get into the United States. And then they would show up and they would, you know, mysteriously find somebody to marry a week later, and then 6 months later, when eligible, they would apply for citizenship status. So you sort of get the golden egg of the espionage world is to get that blue book, right? If you're a foreign opponent of the United States, you want a U.S. passport. And they would exploit and abuse our systems like this to obtain that and then do us harm. Another one is the student work visas, like what you're talking about. Intelligence officers pose as foreign students and researchers all the time. Recently, big in the news have been Chinese Ministry of State Security. They leverage the Confucius Institute. That's a whole nother conversation. And they partner with exchange students to recruit assets inside U.S. universities. I'm not remembering which one, but it was just like last month, another student was arrested reporting back to Chinese intelligence services. And sort of along those same lines, you have your H-1B or O-1 visas, which are specialized skills. So that's like musicians, engineers, scientists, and they're tasked with technology transfers, like so IP theft, intellectual property theft, okay? So that's two major ones that are often and frequently exploited. So I want everybody to remember this when you hear about, you know, crackdowns and ICE and DHS and what they're going after. There's a lot more than just what you see at the surface. Another big one is human trafficking, marriage fraud networks, Russian, Armenian groups, organized crime groups, again, that I've, you know, been around, used K-1 marriage fraud rings to smuggle ex-Russian military intelligence personnel into the U.S. Happens all the time. And marriage brokers, you know, criminal syndicates facilitate these fake weddings. They take fake pictures. They fake families from overseas when they're going into the consulate and applying for visas, all with the intention of harming the United States and our citizens. They do this by exploiting refugee and asylum claims, identity theft and document fraud, long-term, you know, non-official cover agents. I mean, this we could talk about this all day. That's not the topic of today's podcast, but I just wanted to remind people that we have a lot of people out there that want to do us harm. And there are people who work really hard to protect the U.S. homeland. Now, when this gets political is when you exploit emotions for the sake of winning elections. And that's exactly what the Democrats have done. They've lied to the American people. They have told people, if you care about your country or you want to protect the U.S. homeland, you're a racist and a bigot and you hate immigrants. And all of that is an absolute lie. And because they want to win elections, they have exploited people, innocent people, and told them, the borders are open. You can come here. And what's resulted is the rape of many thousands of young girls, the human trafficking and subsequent modern slavery of people indebted to criminal organizations like the narco cartels. I mean, really, really evil stuff. So we want an ethical immigration process, right? One that benefits both the United States and our homeland and the people coming so that people are not getting hurt indiscriminately. Huge national security risk. So anyways, that's what we're talking about here. That's what DOGE is doing when they're cracking down on some of this stuff. I digress. Let's keep going to the next segment here.
Real quick, I think it's worth noting too, for anybody who thinks, well, man, this poor 45-year-old middle-aged Iraqi guy that got singled out by the U.S. government. In 2017, he was also charged in connection with a shooting incident where the victim sustained a hand injury.
Bro, you're racist. He's totally
a warrant was issued. He got charged with felonies, including assault and criminal use of a firearm. So there's, I always think there's criminal intent because the left and the media is saying, well, you know, there allegedly this guy was a Trump supporter. He was registered to the New York Conservative Party. I think that that's all they're forming an identity, much like you're talking about with these families and these people coming over. They're fitting a narrative that they're trying to say, you know, well, he supported Trump. Nobody knows who he voted for. I mean, I could probably tell you with 99.9% accuracy that he voted for Biden, but 2020, it would have been Joe Biden. So yeah, anyways, that's what DOGE is up to.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, it's not just political football. Like we have, you know, this note, it's about protecting the integrity of every ballot. I mean, when non-citizens infiltrate our roles, whether it's just a regular person that crossed the border or a foreign intelligence operative, honest American citizens lose their voice. They lose representation. And that's worth protecting. We have these laws for a reason. We have the liberties and freedoms we have for a reason. It's not because we operate like many third world countries around the world. we do things differently here. And we want to maintain the integrity of that process so that we can protect the liberties and freedoms that we enjoy. So anyways,
one last note I just wanted to mention too. So, a lot of times we hear a lot about voter fraud and then it's like, okay, well, what are we going to do to stop the next person from doing that? There's kind of been a lack in that. So what Doge is suggesting is basically deactivating people's social security numbers, and forcing them into self deportation. So if, you know, one morning you find your social security number blacklisted, you can't get a paycheck, you don't have a bank account, there's no way to support your family. Well, you have to leave.
Especially if you're up here to mischievous behavior. You know what I mean? Like who does that? Who gets, it's hard enough to get in to the US and like, let's say you do it right. And then you come here and you commit crimes. Like, what are you thinking? Like apply that to you. Let's say you want to go visit, I don't know, Germany or something, right? Or England. And you get permission to work there. And then as soon as you get there, you start complaining about the government and committing crimes. The government of you know, the UK or Germany would have every right to say, revoked, offer revoked, right? Go back. You're breaking our laws. You're disrespecting our culture. You don't get to be here anymore. I don't understand why this is such a controversial topic. It's really not. All right. So next up, we're gonna head back to California here. We're going to talk about trans athlete A.B. Hernandez. This is not a satisfactory change here, but let me just tell you what happened. So California is allowing boys to compete in girls' sports. Okay, they're absolutely dominating. They're crushing little girls. They're accomplishing record-breaking distances that coaches say no teenage girl can ever match. Okay. So Trump recently, came out and addressed this and basically told California like, hey, like you need, this isn't in compliance with the law. You need to change this. And, so they made a change. CIF did, which is, what does CIF stand for again?
California Interscholastic Federation, I believe.
California Interscholastic Federation. Okay, so what they did is completely not satisfactory, but it took us a minute to figure this out. But they essentially added extra slots. So if normally 12 girls qualify to advance to the next stage, if one of those 12 is a boy, then they now let the 13th girl in line advance as well. I don't understand like what their thinking is there. I mean, they're calling this a pilot program for 2025. It's not really accomplishing anything. They're just adding a person. I mean, the bottom line is boys should not be competing with girls. Like this is common sense, common sense. There's major biological differences. And they claim like, oh, you have to be on testosterone suppression and this and that. I'm like, who are these coward parents who allow these young men to absolutely dominate their little girls in sports? I mean, we are biologically different in every way imaginable. If you have a mental health issue and you suffer from gender dysphoria, I think that they should get help. I don't think that we should hate those people, but I think that there should be clear-cut lines in the sand. There are some things that you don't get to do. You don't get to use the bathroom with my daughter. You don't get to compete in sports where you absolutely destroy them. And this continues on into adulthood with really severe consequences, as we've seen in like UFC fighting and wrestling and things like that.
I think the tough part here is that nobody wants to do or talk about some of these parents is really the only way to solve this is for all of these females, these biological females to not compete and to sit out. And that really sucks for them because they've worked their entire lives. They've trained for this moment at the state finals, et cetera, whatever competition, but really to make a stand and to make a point is you really have to just sit out, which means the boy is competing by themselves. Mm-hmm. Basically. I mean, I don't know how else you get change. I mean, Trump, like you had mentioned, is threatening to remove federal funding. You know, Newsom a couple months ago on a podcast with Charlie Kirk said that it wasn't fair that boys are competing in girls' sports, yet he's not doing anything to stop, you know, this from happening. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough, but really it really comes down to these girls are going to have to sacrifice for something that's a little bit more. And I know that that sucks and that's tough to say. I don't know what I would do in that, you know, position if I was a player, you know, having to sit out a state finals for a baseball game or whatever it'd be. I mean, that would be terrible. But
yeah, it's super sad.
What's the difference between just getting totally dominated by a male?
Yeah. The militant and very damaging trans agenda is hurting so many people, and their entire approach is based on feelings. This is the whole debate between reality and emotions, right? Is the supporters argue that basically these guys should be allowed to compete based on their gender identity. What that means is I should be allowed to compete against your daughters because I feel like I'm a woman. And it's like, I don't really care what you feel, or, you know, your feelings do not dictate reality. As soon as you allow that to be truth in your life, we see this across the culture. If you allow your emotions or the way you feel to dictate what's real, you are in big trouble. I mean, you are going to seriously suffer because you're going to go down roads that lead you to a lot of suffering and destruction. Now, think about this applied to a lot of different things. You know, well, I, you know, you tell your kid, don't touch the hot stove. Well, I feel like that stove is cold, so I'm going to touch it. Right. Well, you're going to get burned. Right. Yeah. Or like we've seen in this very real example, the trans hysteria has damaged untold number of young people. We see this a lot now from detransitioners who are coming out and saying, I am totally wrecked by this. I was encouraged to follow my feelings, quote, by adults. Look at Chloe Cole's testimony to Congress. She said, all the adults in my life affirmed these delusions, and now I've suffered lifelong irreversible harm. This is a travesty. We should not be encouraging it. And I don't care how you feel. That's not loving, to encourage someone just because they feel a certain way. What's loving is to encourage them according to reality and what's ultimately good for them. To present them the truth about the trans life and where it leads and some of these surgeries that have lifelong irreversible effects and the drugs and the medication and the depression and the suffering. I mean, it's wild how far Democrats have gone to win elections. What's more appalling than the secular side is churches who have cowtailed, who have bowed to the world's definition of love. And so they won't address these issues because they're not allowed to talk about politics. These are not political issues. They're matters of reality, of philosophy, ideology, and ultimately God's moral truth. And if you really want to love someone, you'll tell them the truth, because love is honest. And this is not honesty. Letting a 6-foot man, you know, beat your daughter in a physical sport is not loving. It's denying young girls their opportunities, their rights, their individualness as women. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. I wouldn't stand for it. I'm appalled that parents allow, you know, this to occur. It's just ridiculous. But so, you know, Trump is basically saying that they could lose Title IX funding unless these trans boys are excluded from girls' sports. I mean, also Department of Education opened a probe into whether CIF's here in California's identity-based eligibility runs afoul of sex discrimination laws. Because, I mean, really, they're discriminated against girls, right?
Well, yeah, that was the point I was going to make, is it's amazing how far we've come where Title IX requires that there be, you know, equal number of boy and girl sports. They fought for that for such a long time. And now you have somebody like this man coming in and basically erasing all of that. I mean, and I would like to ask him too, like, do you feel good at night? Like when you go to bed, like, are you comfortable with the fact, like, you have to know deep down, like, you didn't win. You were just better than the girls. And it's because you're,
well, it's,
you're,
they don't care about anybody else. Yeah. It's completely self-centered.
Well, and that goes to the parent too. Like, how do you not sit your child down and say, like, I know you feel this way, but like, that's,
you're not the center of the universe.
That's not reality. I mean, my 2-year-old feels a lot of things all the time. He feels like he wants to eat ice cream all day, but I mean, I'm not going to let him do that.
How selfish is it for one person to have all of this effect upon all the other girls playing, all because you don't want to play with the boys,
yeah,
right? Or because you...
Or you can't play with the boys is really the issue.
Right? Or because you're struggling. And listen, again, to be clear, we don't hate people. I think that love is honest. If you really want the best for some of these young people are deeply suffering, as we talk about all the time. They need Jesus. They need truth in their life. They need people to come along and say, hey, this isn't the best thing for you. Like, you know, I know you feel like a cat, but you're not a cat. Okay, that's not your gender identity because you feel like a cat. That's not going to lead you down a good path in life. I don't know why people are so readily accepting of the lie that says that love is really just acquiescence or giving someone whatever they say or want. That's not love. That's patronizing. It ultimately, as we've seen, like we mentioned, Chloe Cole talks about, those people hurt her. And ultimately, that's not a place you want to end up being. So now the loving thing to do is to be honest and tell the truth. And we don't have to be hateful or, you know, spread vitriol, but we can tell somebody, you know what, this fantasy or this feeling that you have, it's detrimental to reality. It's detrimental to you physically. And we do not have to accept it. I don't understand the confusion over this. It seems so obvious. It's really hard for me to understand how people get on board defending the whole trans hysteria thing. It's wild, man. Anyways, all right. Let's see. What's the last segment we have here? Back to California. On to SB 94. Senate Minority Leader Brian Jones talking about this a lot on socials. I'd encourage you to go check that out on Instagram. This is Senate Bill 94. California Democrats are pushing for early release of over 1,762 violent offenders. These are inmates convicted of violent crimes like murder, assault, rape, and they're going to walk free via the elderly parole program. Now, victims' families say this is a complete betrayal. Law and order advocates warn about public safety risk and how it will suffer. You know, this is a constant issue with Democrats here in California, being pro-crime, pro-violence, pro-destruction, all under the name of these social justice lies. Again, love is honest, right? This is the opposite of that. We talked about this recently when we talked about the Hernandez brothers, right? Where California Democrats are redefining what justice is. And it's yet another example of why the citizens of California will suffer under Democrat regime here, the supermajority that they maintain, for these foolish decisions. We can go way back all the way to, you know, early release programs in the early 2000s to Prop 47, which, you know, after years and years was finally stayed back a little bit. But they just continue to repeat the same things over and over and over again because they're addicted to activism. They're addicted to this mantra that says everyone in jail is innocent, it's not their fault, and there's no personal accountability. And it leads to things like SB 94. I mean, now, to provide some biblical perspective, like we try, the purpose of government, according to God, is to wield the sword to punish wrongdoing and protect the innocent. God established government. It's not an invention of man. It's a biblical concept. And the purpose is to maintain order, to punish wrongdoers, and to protect innocent people. So California Democrats are doing the exact opposite. So if you're a Christian or you're in a church out there, again, these are not political issues. These are moral issues. True mercy restores offenders, but not at the expense of the community's safety or the dignity of those who were harmed. In other words, there is forgiveness. I think we should work with inmates. We should work on rehabilitation programs, but within the guidelines of the law. If you murder and rape someone, you will and can find forgiveness spiritually, but there are physical real world consequences that you have to deal with. We do not advocate, you know, like, oh, well, you did 10 years on a life sentence, so you should just go back out again. And we have a history to back us up on this. What happens when we do this is never good, never. California's a perfect example of that. AB 109 and their early release had major, you know, recidivism. Offenders were committing murders and crimes and went back to jail, like 78% or something. I forget the number. And then, you know, Prop 47, where they got rid of, well, let's just not punish people in the first place, led to massive spikes in property crime and drug crime. I mean, it's just, I don't understand the blindness here with Democrats. Again, I think it's just that they're obsessed with activism. They just can't not be on some activist cause, but it's detrimental to the people that live here It always hurts the state. They've been in control of major cities for many, many decades now, and it's only gotten worse. So I don't know what it'll take for people to wake up and say, maybe I shouldn't repeat the same thing that fails over and over and over again. And you know what they do? They just take your money. That's all they do. So they destroy neighborhoods with their policies like this. They hurt the state. They hurt innocent people. And then they tax you more. That's the track record that California Democrats have. And I submit, you want to know why? Because they have an incorrect worldview. They've denied the existence of God. They hate the founding fathers and what our nation was founded on. They've rejected all of the biblical values that this nation was founded on in favor of this progressive Marxism that historically destroys societies. So what do you expect? We love grace, but a society that rewards violence with early freedom is not merciful. It's reckless. In this battle, the watchword has to be justice with compassion, not compassion without justice. I think that's a very, very important part. All right. Lastly here, we have the underlying worldview clash. We can just talk about this briefly, and then we're going to wrap it up here. But just sort of in summation of what we talked about today, what kind of brings or unites every story we've covered today? It's a fundamental conflict of worldviews, like I was just alluding to. Secular humanism, essentially at its core, declares there's no absolute truth, right? So there's no such thing as gender. It's all whatever you feel like it is. There's no such thing as holding someone accountable for what they did because it's not their fault. Rights and policies bend to shifting feelings and or pulls, right? Whatever the mob says. Whereas the American view, traditionally, and the biblical view is anchored in an unchanging truth, absolute truth. Like Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. America used to believe that. And so our foundations were solid. They were set. They were firm. They were not tossed about on the waves of emotional storms. So when truth is whatever feels right, everything, ballots, sports, criminal justice, everything becomes negotiable. And we're living this out right now. But the Bible offers a steadfast compass, a plumb line, as it were. And our mission at Defining Truth is to point back to that North Star. That's where we need to be as a nation and as individuals. I would challenge you this week as we wrap up, pick one of these flashpoints we've covered. We talked about voter integrity, immigration enforcement, fairness in sports, parole reform, crime. Here's a challenge. On voter stuff, I would say support audits and volunteer for election observers if you're looking for something to do. On immigration issues, I'd ask that you guys pray for humane and orderly reform. We don't hate people, but we want to protect our nation and we want to do the right thing and follow the law. There's nothing evil or terrible about that. Quite the opposite, actually. If you're concerned about fairness in sports and what's going on in California and other places around the country, write to your school board and urge that they respect biological reality and protect your young girls. And on the parole reform and crime, advocate for balanced justice. Get involved. Call your reps, call your state reps, and tell them what you think. Do you want violent offenders released into your community so that they can go out and hurt other people? Do you believe that when you're convicted of a crime, you should finish the sentence you're convicted of? Questions to think about this week. And how do you act on it? You can write an email, make a call, partner with a local ministry, find a church that's involved in doing the right thing and defend truth in your community. Well, that wraps up episode 55 of Defining Truth. I'm Josiah O'Neill here with Brandon Jones. Stay bold, stay loving, and keep defining truth because a world without it quickly unravels. We'll see you next time.